Okay, here we are. Today was is our 21st day of prayer, right? We started 21 days ago praying and fasting, seeking the Lord. And we're concluding that today, and we're going to kind of do this weird amalgam of ending one thing and then starting another. And so we'll see how it goes, right? But a little bit of vision, what I want to share with you guys is like, we've provided a space, right? And even this morning, we're considering that sometimes things can become religious in how they operate, and that we don't want that. We want to move of God's Spirit, like in a genuine way. And so, yes, we say those words because we're Christians and we have to, but in reality, like, we really do want that. And so what that means is we try to, right, as the church staff and as people, and what Bill has done, Bill and Vi, for the last 34 years, is provide a space. Bill would call it green grass and still waters, right? And so before moving into this position, he had me kind of, I have a folder in my Google Documents. It's green grass and still waters. And it's just, what does it take to get that, right? And so a lot of it is, you know, making sure the building is clean and that it's ready for you guys to come, that these chairs are sit here, you know, and different things go into providing a place and a space for you to come and sit down and listen to God's word, to worship, right? These guys back here, Ed and Chase and all those who do worship, and the guys who do sound, Matt and Tyrone and Jay, Andrew, these guys come here really early. They get here before the staff gets here, and they set these things up. They do all this work. Why? So we can worship, right? And like we've said before, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Like, we recognize, like, there's ways you could be a whole lot flashier and fog machines and lights and so on, but like, we just want to provide a space to worship. That's it. That you guys have actually come this morning. You've set aside an hour and a half or so of your life to come and worship the Lord, right? And to sit under the teaching of his word. And so that's what we've provided here. We've set the time aside, and then we trust and we pray that God will move, right? That he'll speak to you guys clearly through the teaching of his word in accordance with the Holy Spirit speaking and driving that stuff deep within your heart. And so here we are on another Sunday morning. Unlike any other Sunday morning we've ever lived, though. It's the only one we'll ever get, right? This one particular today. And so it's exciting. That's like, makes today really fun. It makes today, like, there's an anticipation, hopefully. And so we've prayed for this day that you guys would be able to come and sit and just enjoy the word of God, that he would speak to you. And you've been diligent to come out of your homes, right, and out of your bed, and you're here now. And so now we get to get into the word, and we get to kind of end and segue into something new. So we have that. What we're moving into, what I plan on doing this morning, Lord willing, is we're going to start with somewhat of an overview of the book of Acts. We're going to be teaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the book of Acts. We're going to read every single verse that's in there. We're not skipping over anything. We're going to deal with it all. And it's been kind of the way we do things, right? And so we're going to do that as we go on. Who knows how long it will take, right? Probably a long time. But today we'll do a bit of an overview and just talk through what the book of Acts was, look at the guy named Luke, and then we'll end with where we've been, right? Because these two things actually kind of converge, and it's neat how it does it. And then if we have time, and I hope we do, we're going to look through, we're going to read Psalm 27 together as a church. You'll look at it. I'll read it. But we'll read it together and just meditate on it. We went through it on our Friday prayer. We were going through it, and it ends things really well. The hope is, as we're ending 21 days of prayer and fasting, that we don't really end it, right? That's the idea, like, keep doing it, keep praying, keep seeking the Lord, keep doing that. So we'll get to that in a second. But for now, why don't you guys open up to the book of Luke. If you need a Bible, raise your hands. We'll have them passing out. We'll be going various places. And if you don't have a Bible, or if you want a New King James Version, that's what I'm teaching from, keep it and read from it. That way it makes more sense to you or something. Book of Luke. Sorry, Acts. I gave it all away, didn't I? Who wrote it? I know what happened. I forgot to pray. That's what it is. So let's ask the Lord to come and help this out right here. Lord, we need you. I need you. Pray that you would open up our hearts, speak clearly. This is your word. These are your people that you purchased with your own blood. And so what a privilege it is to gather together and sing songs of praise to you and considering all that you have done. You are our rock. You are our strong tower. We hold you, Lord Jesus. We want to continue to hold fast. And so have your way this morning. Speak clearly. Move within your church. Stir us up, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at Luke. Oh, man, that didn't even help. Man, why do you guys show up? I don't know. Here's the book of Acts, okay? Here we go. It says Acts of the Apostles. It's a lie. It's Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, right? It's a work of God that he did through people, and that doesn't change today. It's the same exact thing today. Verse 1, it says, the former account I made to you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible or unmistakable proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We have an introduction here in the book of Acts. It's really similar to the one we find in the book of Luke, which we'll look at here in a second. But Jesus, as Luke would teach us, he's making an account, right, sorry, to this guy Theophilus, lover of God. Look over at Luke chapter 1 now. You kind of get a similar story. How do we know Luke did this? Well, church tradition will teach it, but we hardly need that because Luke wrote this book to Theophilus here in Acts. And as you'll find out here in a second, this dude Theophilus got two books dedicated to him. Now, there's debate, I suppose, or wondering, is Theophilus like an actual guy whose name was Theophilus? And that's possible, of course. It's an interesting name. I don't know, I mean, maybe, right? Lover of God, like that's a cool name. For sure, is Luke writing to the church, those who love God, right? And that is possible too. Right here, for like he's for sure writing to somebody named Theophilus. We know that, probably a guy, but undoubtedly to us as well. And we're so thankful for this book. Let's look at Luke chapter 1:1-4. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of the things which have been fulfilled among us. Meaning this, that Matthew started writing stuff down, right? John the Apostle was writing things down. Mark, Peter, other apostles were writing things down that Jesus had done and that Jesus had taught. Luke is like, I'm going to join that club up. I'm going to be a part of that, right? So he starts writing these things down. And you'll notice that he does it in a different way. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to us. It seemed good to me also, and notice what he says, having a perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. So he wrote the book of Luke. Now we just finished teaching through the book of Luke, right? Bill went through so much of it. We had some staff go through it, and then I finished it up a month or two ago, and then we started our season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We just finished the book of Luke, and that's why we're going to the book of Acts, because it just nicely kind of flows right along. This was all very likely part of the same book in the back in the day, and it was probably what would be considered a legal briefing that Luke would have provided for Paul on his behalf because he was in prison. This is during his first Roman detainment. As you read the book of Acts, it kind of ends there. We'll get to it. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But Luke wrote this book, and we're going to go look at some fun stuff here, to a guy, but also to the church, for a briefing, perhaps, to display or explain all that had gone on behalf of Paul. And it's nice that we have the book of Acts, because if you went from the Gospels into the epistles, you'd be thinking, who in the world is Paul, right? Why are we listening to Paul? Well, here, we have that story written down for us. Go ahead and turn in the book of Acts to chapter 16. And many of you will probably know this and have seen this before. It's a fun little thing to do when you're studying Scripture and having an understanding as far as what happened here in Scripture. We're going to look at this person of Luke here in a second. But a really neat teaching point comes out here in this section. And hopefully it'll kind of whet your appetite for the beauty of God's Word and the richness that's in the book of Acts and all that we can learn from it. Paul had just completed his first missionary journey, and they're hanging out, doing their thing, and waiting a little bit, and they're Paul's finally like, man, Barnabas, let's go back and visit the churches that we had gone and seen, right? Already planted. And Barnabas is like, that's a great idea, Paul. And he's like, hey, my cousin Mark wants to come. And Paul's like, not a chance, right? They have this big fight. Paul's like, I'm not bringing Mark with me because he was a bum last time and didn't stick with it, or something happened, right? And he's like, I don't want him to come. And Barnabas is like, but he's my family. He has to come. And Paul's like, not a chance. So anyway, they break apart, right? And Paul goes his way with Silas and others, and Barnabas and Mark do their thing. We don't hear about them ever again, except for Mark. Paul, in his letters, asks for Mark to come, and he was redeemed, right? Mark had redeemed himself, it would seem, at least. And so here's Paul. They split their way, and so then he's like, well, we're still going to go to the other churches, right? That brings us to Acts chapter 16, where, by the way, he kind of meets Timothy at this point in time. And Timothy joins in. We go ahead and look at verse 6. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, this is Acts chapter 16, verse 6. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they had tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. For a second, just consider what that means. And what exactly is it that's going on here? Where the Spirit would not allow them to go into Asia, and he wouldn't allow them to go into Bithynia. Why is that? And what would that have looked like? I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, and when you're just walking with the Lord, how can you come to conclusions like this? When you would say, the Lord led me to this direction. How do you come to those conclusions? Guys, it's not like super mystical or magical. It's you're hanging out with the Lord. What were these guys doing? These men and women were sitting with the Lord. They were looking to Jesus. They were spending time with him. You can think about the different times where Peter would maybe go and sit on the rooftop and God would speak to him, like the Gentiles can be saved. Like, that's a big deal, right? That's like, thank you, Lord, for that. That's us here for the most part. He speaks. You set the time aside and he speaks. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, where God has been faithful to speak to you during this time of prayer, and hopefully he has to a degree, right, where we've been ministering and hanging out with the Lord, going through devos together as a church. Remember youth camp. What's so special about youth camp? Well, it's 5 days of setting aside time, no phones, no TV, nothing but Jesus, and hanging out with your friends. And guess what happens? The Lord works and speaks and moves and all these things. What about if you set aside 2 years of your life to study God's word? You think God will work? Come on, absolutely. That's why we have a Bible college. Can you imagine that? 2 years of your life totally set apart to just study God's word and to be stretched and to be crushed and other things like that. It's exciting, right? God speaks in God's word. But you know what's exciting is you don't have to have youth camp, right? God can speak otherwise. You don't have to go to Bible college. God still speaks. What does he ask? I don't know, gather on Sundays. Get up in the morning and hang out with him. This is what they were doing. And how do they know? Doors might have closed. We don't know all that goes into it, but they knew this for sure. The Holy Spirit said no. So a quick story. I was, it doesn't matter. Okay, my wife was in college. She was at Indiana Wesleyan University. And I was in California in Bible college there. And we were going to get married. And in doing so, I was like, well, I'm going to go up. And there was a job opening in Marion, Indiana. And was going to do, it was a youth pastor's position. Right at a particular denominational church, not at Calvary. And everything that's like there just seemed perfect, right? Making some cash, being able to still, like, you know, we can be married and live, and Kristen can go to college. She was there on a running scholarship. She can still do her thing. We can get married and follow what we believe that God was leading us to. And it just was like perfect. I'm emailing back and forth with the pastor there, and we're setting up some interviews to go and talk and chat about all these things, and 100% like, this is it, Lord. Thank you so much for this, for your provision. And we go there, and long story short, it was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life, because here's why: the Holy Spirit did not permit it. You know, door was slammed shut in my face, and I needed that kind of humiliation to just take me back to the Lord. And kind of like from the ground up, the Lord really started to do a really neat work. But how did we know? Like, I can look back now And I can say to you, the Holy Spirit did not permit me to preach the word there in Marion at this particular church, right? You guys tracking with me? Like, I know that for sure. At the time, it was devastating because it was just like what made sense in my mind. And had that happened, you know, it's like we wouldn't be here today, right? And so the Lord knows his way. And same thing here, because something is getting ready to happen that we've yet to read that is going to be so exciting and it's going to blow your minds maybe. Some of you already know this and it's not that exciting, but it's so much fun to see how God weaves things together and like we can actually trust him. And so there's times undoubtedly in our lives where like, why is this not working? Why is this not happening? Why did God shut this door? Why did he open the door, right? Whatever it might be, why did the Holy Spirit forbid them to preach the word? Like that would be a really good thing. Why would the Holy Spirit prevent such a thing? Because listen, there's a bigger picture at play here. There's something way bigger than going into this spot. God was moving Paul in a particular direction. Well, guess what? All the other apostles went east. And you can read about that, a great book, The Lost History of the Eastern Church or something to that. Like, it was a great book, but kind of chronicles what happened there with the other apostles as they went that way. Well, Paul went west, and we read about that right there. Like, that's what we have here in Scripture is Paul's movement west, and we were beneficiaries of that ministry today. So let's go ahead and keep reading, right? So notice the Holy Spirit did not permit them. Whatever that what I looked like, be sensitive to God's leading, right? The peace that is there. And when you recognize like, man, it just doesn't seem right. I just don't think that's the job I should take, or I don't think that this is it, or whatever it is, then listen, right? Sit before the Lord, wait and be patient, and allow him to speak. Verse 8, so passing by my Asia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood pleading with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so we'll pause for a second. Paul's hanging out there in Troas. You guys just read it, I know, but what would that have been? He's hanging out, eating, maybe he's sleeping or dreaming or spending some time praying at night, and God speaks to him, right? That's the most important thing to realize. God speaks to him. And in a vision, he has this, and there's been times maybe you guys have had a vision from the Lord, and like you just see it, and you want to see it fulfilled. And so the same thing happened here. What was it? A dude saying, come over here and help us. Now, where are they? They're in Troas. And you're going to notice something interesting here that helps us understand this guy, Luke, a little bit more here in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. You have an interest, like certain parts of speech. And I don't know what that's called because I don't know English very well. But they, right? Now, when they had gone through, and after they had come, and a vision, and they passed by down to Troas, notice verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, immediately, what's it say? We, right? Immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. What happened? Paul and Luke meet, right? And this is a good thing, because we have a book written down by a guy named Luke, and had Paul, and never met Luke, who knows what would have happened, had Paul pushed in like, of course I'm going to go to Asia. I'm preaching the gospel wherever I want. I'm going to go to Asia. He wouldn't have gone to Troas. Had he gone to Bithynia, he wouldn't have gone to Troas. He wouldn't have met Luke. Had he not met Luke, we wouldn't have had scripture here. We wouldn't have Luke's ability then to be introduced to guys like Peter, to guys like Timothy or other people, right? Andrew. All the apostles. It was this relationship that allowed Luke to travel and meet these people so that he could have a perfect understanding and write the book of Luke and write the book of Acts. It's like, this is what God was doing, something so much more. God knows the others are going to be taken care of. They're going to go into Asia. They're going to go into Bithynia. But Paul, I have you doing something specific. I need you to meet a guy in Troas because I got some cool stuff planned for him, right? And it's Luke. And so we trust that God will move us. And that it's a little scary sometimes. You can trust that God will move you. And you listen to him. The sensitivity to a spirit is so important, as you guys undoubtedly know. And so we pick up Luke here. Now turn to Colossians chapter 4. We'll get a little bit more here on Luke. Paul's sitting in prison now. During his first Roman detainment, and he's writing letters to the church. We have the prison epistles. So Paul's writing these letters, and this is probably 10, 15 years or so since their meeting. Paul's done already another missionary journey, a third one, and things have happened, right? This is Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. It helps us understand a little bit about Luke. He was a physician. What does that mean? He was probably pretty smart. He knew his stuff, attention to detail, the ability to memorize things and understand. Like, he had it, right? He was a smart dude who could understand stuff. And that helps us, like, the book of Luke and the book of Acts are really detailed in the places and the times and the rulers of the times and things like that. That's important for just the historicity of Scripture and trusting that it actually is indeed the infallible Word of God. Like, God has spoken and here it is. And Luke has a large part in that in helping us know, like, where certain things happened and when they happened and stuff like that, right? So Luke, being a physician, we get a little insight. And take note, though, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. They were hanging out with Paul there in prison, doing their thing with him. Now move to Philemon. We'll get a little bit more there. There towards the end here. It's a little bitty book. This is Philemon, and it'll be chapter 1, obviously, but look at verse 23. Again, this letter would have been written maybe right after Colossians, just so you're aware. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow laborers. What was Luke? Real quick, he was a laborer along with Paul, a physician, and he worked really hard with Paul, right? And what was that like? To have met Paul wasn't like going to be a luxurious life. What does it mean? He gets to walk around and get beaten a lot. They get to be arrested. That's exciting, right? They get to spend night and day out in the deep and all kinds of different things. In the country, people are trying to kill him. When they're in the city, what are people are trying to kill him? When they're amongst the Jews, they're trying to kill him. When they're with the Gentiles, they're trying to kill them. That was hanging out with Paul, right? And so Luke is sticking with it, though, right? As is Demas. They're doing really well. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 now, and we get a little bit more insight. We're trying to figure out who is this guy Luke, right? Sticking with it, being faithful to the very end, hopefully, right? Now, when we get to 2 Timothy, we get a book that was written after Acts, right? So years after Acts. Acts ends somewhere, we'll get to it, around 62 AD. Those are all ishes, right? Paul probably was martyred around 66 or so AD, had his head chopped off. So this is right before that, right? 2 Timothy is right before then. This time that thing happens. Look at verse 9, and we'll read a few. It says, be diligent. Sorry, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. Remember Demas? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Isn't that a bummer? Something happened to Demas. Became too much, perhaps, or the cares of the world began to choke out the fruitfulness of his life. He did not endure. He was there with Luke. He was there through all those things, but something happened. Whatever it was, just take note. He loved this present world, and it's interesting, this present world, because there's a world coming, right? And like, that's the one that we're to set our eyes on, Jesus, that kingdom, right? His world. This is a temporary place. We're just sojourners here. But Demas had lost sight of that. He thought that this was the world that mattered. He lost sight of it, right? And he went. He goes on, Paul does. He's departed for Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. And look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Isn't that cool? Luke, man, sticking by him to the very end. This is the end of Paul right here. Luke was with him. And so it gives us insight. He was a physician that worked really hard, copious amounts of labor, and he did it to the very end. It's a wonderful characteristic, right, of him. Now, when we get to the book of Acts and what all that Luke had written, somewhere around the time span of 30 years is what Acts chronicles, right? From the very beginning of the church there in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, somewhere around 30 or so AD, 30 to 33-ish. All the way to about 62 is Acts chapter 28, where Paul's was imprisoned and he was getting ready to stand before some pretty important people. So it's somewhere around 35 years of history. Now you have to consider this, because when you read the book of Acts, you guys know it's exciting, right? God's moving, 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 moving. But over, if you were to spread all those things out over 30 years, guess what? You have mostly mundane, right? Yeah, God's moving in powerful ways, and there's incredible seasons of life where God is working in amazing and awesome ways. But so much of their life was spent keeping on pursuing and persisting in finding and looking to Jesus. Like, that's what it is. They continued on, right? And then all that time span that goes by, they press into Jesus. They keep looking to him. Demas falls off. Man, other people were delivered into Satan, as Paul would say in certain letters. But some of these, man, kept going, right? So here's all of you today. It's like, where will you be in 30 years, right? Where will your heart be in 30? I can promise you this. If you continue to abide in Christ, you'll continue to abide in Christ, right? Like, that's what it is. Keep persisting. Keep centered in him. Hide yourself in him, like we sang this morning, right? 30 years of history. When you're reading it, of chapter 1 to chapter 28, it's exciting. Like, God, do that work today. It's like, yes, amen. We want that, right? There's a reason why we're going to the book of Acts. We want that work, right? But 30 years, like, are we buckled up and ready for 30 years of ministry? Are you guys ready for 30 years of plowing hard and sowing seed and getting into it with the Lord? Are we ready for that, right? And so, like, we purposed in our hearts, Lord, do this. We gather together Sunday mornings to be encouraged and edified to keep on persisting in what God has for us. Is it 30 years? Yes, whatever it is. Until the day I die, like, you guys the same. Like, we're going to follow Jesus. No matter what happens, no matter what the culture says, or no matter what pressures come, we're going to keep teaching the word and we're going to keep following Jesus, right? And so we can trust, though, that God will continue to work. Acts chapter 1 through 12 covers kind of the early church there, their formation, and then them being scattered through the persecution of Paul. And chapters 1 through 7 deal in particular with the spread of the gospel in Jerusalem and in Judea. And chapters 8 through 10 deal with Samaria and the surrounding regions. Remember when Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses" there in chapter 1, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. The book of Acts is laid out in such a way where you have Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then 13 to the very end of the book is to the ends of the earth, where Paul, we follow him. Chapters 1 through 12 is Peter and John, the early apostles and the church there, Stephen and Philip, and kind of the establishing of the church. And then when you hit chapter 13, it just transitions, and it's just the Paul show. We just hear about him and what he had done and kind of what had happened there. And so that's what we have to look forward to. Interestingly enough, a reference to the Holy Spirit is found in 219 verses in the New Testament. 55 of those verses are found in the book of Acts, right? Now you could think, well, duh, Acts is really long. And you're right, it is. 1 Corinthians was in second place as far as scriptures that deal with the Holy Spirit, and that was less than 30. Acts accounts for around 10% of the chapters in the New Testament, right? Because I know you guys love math. Acts accounts for, try to stay with me here, 10% of the chapters in the New Testament, but it accounts for 25% of references to the Holy Spirit in the whole scripture. All that, who cares, right? Well, hopefully you do. Because guess what the book is about, right? The movement of God's Spirit in people, right? The history of how God moved to a people, in a people that were yielded to him, that would show up on Sunday mornings. That's when the church would gather, was Sunday morning. And they would read the apostles' doctrines, right? They would read through some scriptures. They would sing songs together. They would talk about how can we live this out, right? That was what the early church did from the very beginning. They would read through scripture, talk about how we can live this out, and they would then leave, and they would scatter, and they would go share the gospel. And they would be salt and light in the world. That's what God did. It was a move of his Spirit, though, right? You guys know, without him, we could do nothing. Acts is the story and example of what happens when people follow Jesus and let him make them into fishers of men. And that's what we want, right? That's no different than today in 2022. We want to follow Jesus and let him make us into fishers of men. Now, this converges with where we have been, because we want to continue in this vein of thought. We have been looking to Jesus, right? That was kind of week one of our 21 days. Week one was look to Jesus and consider him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. So we've done that, and you've heard it 1,000 times, and hopefully it's been driven deep within your heart that you keep on doing these things, right? And week two was we knew that a move of God's Spirit will always produce the fruit of God's Spirit. And that's what we want to see in our lives, so that when we do go out and scatter, that people see Jesus in us, right? And we're able to speak things and words to them, and they'll listen to us because your life just is different. And then the last week it was enduring, like keep on doing these things, like don't stop. And so we're not stopping after 21 days. We want to like keep praying, right? Dads, keep investing in your kids on a daily or weekly basis, the word of God, like keep doing that. Keep doing that to your wives, right? Moms, keep pouring into your kids and your husband, like grandparents and all everything, right? Like keep doing it. Don't stop. 30 years, right? We got to like keep going. Like you can't let up or we'll end up like Demas just thinking this present world is what's up. But it's not. Keep going. Persist. Endure. Ephesians last week, it was don't be filled with wine or drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Like who has time for that, right? But it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, okay, Lord, do that work in us. I want that. I need it every day. It goes on then to say 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, to be strong in the grace that is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to anchor ourselves in the work of the cross and what Jesus has done. That's our source of strength and redemption, his grace and his spirit. These two things together allow us to endure. We're going to read a book about people who continued on and doing these things. Paul continued looking to Jesus. He continued casting his eyes on him. He continued watching the move of God's Spirit and like, look what happens, right? The book of Acts. We are fruit of the book of Acts. We're fruit of the church being faithful to meet and gather and go out, scatter and do their thing, right? And so like, let's keep doing that. This then goes on. What happens when you look to Jesus, God works, and you keep on doing it? What happens is the book of Acts happens, right? And so like that can happen today in this fellowship here and other fellowships around our city and in the country, like keep doing it. You guys know this, but just allow this to be kind of like a pep talk or something. I don't know what you'd call it. But be encouraged, be inspired to keep on looking to Jesus, that you would be disciplined to hang out with him. In the morning, you'd wake up and offer your life to him because he's worthy of it. continuing in this, go back, I don't know if you're in Acts or not, but go back to the Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at what the church did and then ask the Lord to allow us to model this, okay? We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll hang out in Psalm 27 for just a moment, and then we'll get out of here. So we want to continue Acts chapter 1, 1 through 3. We already read it, but some interesting time stamps that Jesus came, he was revealed himself. Look at verse 3. He presented himself after his suffering by many infallible proofs. We just read through that in the book of Luke. Remember how he came and he's like, touched me. He ate food. He appeared. He talked to them. He hung out with them. But then also he could appear in rooms and he could disappear. Things like this, right? He could do these different things. And so he appeared. He revealed himself to them. He was seen during 40 days and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Passover happened. Jesus rose again on Sunday. 40 days then pass, and you're getting really close to a particular festival here called Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover. And so what's going to be happening is the apostles then, what we see, Jesus ascends up into heaven, and there's about a 10-day period of time where the apostles did something, and like, I want to learn from this, okay? So be inspired by that. Let God speak to you and minister in your hearts, right? Look at verse 14. I'll start in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. It's a Sabbath day's journey. And when they'd entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Notice verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Well, guess what we're going to keep doing? We're not going to stop doing this because 21 days is over, right? Keep on doing it. Keep praying, keep gathering, keep doing these things because like really awesome things will happen. And for 10 days they gathered together. For 10 days they waited and expected God to work. And look over at chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, together, right? They were together, the church was. Kind of like what we do on Sundays, right? We're together with one another, praying, seeking after the Lord. We're going to keep doing that, right? And whatever the Lord would work, we're going to continue to do our times of prayer and worship once a month on Sunday nights. Like, we're going to keep it going because it's been good. And we invite you guys to come tonight at 6:30 to hang out, to spend some time praying and worshiping, praying for each other, allowing people to be prayed for. ministered to, those who are hurt and broken, those who are excited and fired up for the Lord. Like, we need all of it. And so we invite you to come. But this is what happens. They continued together. They continued together. And you'll see that throughout the book of Acts. The church continued together doing the things that they were supposed to be doing, like looking to Jesus and seeing fruit and keeping on doing that, right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going, right? As we go through the book of Acts, I think you'll be inspired. While we're waiting, go to Psalm 27. And I'm going to read through this and comment very few places, but really it's just, I want to read it. We prayed through this and read through it this Friday at our prayer meeting. And it's such a beautiful psalm. And I think it's a really fitting way to close out our time, but like, we're not closing it out, right? And it's a really fitting way to say, God, will you continue to do a work? You'll see this one thing I want. Like, that's what we're going to hold on to, okay? So Psalm 27, I'll read it. You guys follow along with me, and then I'll comment on just a few places. But this is a psalm of David. It says, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Consider that. Meditate on it. Whom shall I fear? Nobody, right? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart will not fear. And though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. And he'll pause for a second. What is he going to be confident in? The Lord is his light and his salvation. The Lord is the strength of his life. And that's the case for us, right? So that's like a decision. I want to make a decision this morning that this would be true, that he is my light, he is my salvation, he is my rock, he is the strength of my life, that I wouldn't trust in empty wells. Remember that? Broken cisterns that hold no water, but we look to the one who's living water, Jesus. And then he goes on to verse 4, and like, hold fast to this, right? This one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek. What is that one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and I would behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. What did David want? He wanted to hang out with the Lord, right? He wanted New Testament times. Let's just go with it. He wanted Jesus. He wanted to look at him. He wanted to behold him. He wanted to surrender his life to him. And so here we are right there. Like, let's do that. As a fellowship, men, commit your lives to the Lord. Wake up in the morning and surrender to him. Women, do the same thing. Why not? Like, do it. It's a matter of like, Lord, here I am. Waking up and saying, this is the one thing I want. Like, this is ideal, right? Like, I want that. I want my heart to be like that. I want my heart to desire these things. I could be honest and say that there are times where that is not the one thing I desire. There are many things I desire. Many things, whatever they might be. Sugar cream pie. Or something a little bit more serious, right? But if I can't have sugar cream pie, I want Jesus, right? And so that's the one thing I want to hold fast to. It's the one thing. You guys follow this? Like, yes, purify my heart and cleanse me, Lord, that the one thing I want is you and that I desire you above everything else. That's a work of God in your own heart. For in a time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he'll hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his temple, and I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy upon me, and answer me. And when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Hey, let's do that. You guys want to do that? Let's seek his face, like today. And let's seek his face tonight. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, seek his face, right? Look to him. Surrender to him. Yield to him. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Don't turn away your servant in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. And don't deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I just want to encourage you, that right there is the same as Hebrews chapter 12. Consider him who endured such hostility against sinners against himself, from sinners against himself, lest you become weary. Look to him. I would have lost heart, but I've got Jesus. Look to him. And finally, this is what we'll end with, and this will be our prayer. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So keep it up. Keep on waiting. Keep on looking. For the next 21 days, keep on doing it. And then 21 days after that, keep on doing it. And forever and ever, we'll keep doing that. So let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to do that. We'll worship, do another song, and then we'll get out of here. So Father, we do ask that you would do this work. I need help. I get distracted. We read things in your scripture, how you moved in powerful ways, how the work of your Spirit was mighty and awesome and powerful. And we desire that because people are lost. And you, Jesus, were high and lifted up because of these people. Would you do that work in us? Would you continue to help us to cast our eyes on you? That we would be filled with your Spirit, that we'd be strong in your grace, that we would remember and call to mind the beauty of the cross and all that you have done, how you have redeemed us, that we've been bought back, no longer slaves of sin, but we're free and we get to know you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done. And as a church, we would cry out to you, Lord, that you would work in us, that you would stir us up, and that we would be able to go out and do the work you've called us to in the communities that we serve and live in our workplaces, in our homes. Call us, Lord. Put a strong calling and conviction on our lives to know you and to make you known. We surrender, Lord. Do your thing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.